where the New King James says, "And as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." And that's the message of all of our lives should be, is that we need to walk in Christ. Amen. We've had enough time walking as Tim, and you can put your name in there. I've had enough time walking as, you know, I would in the past. I want to, as much as I can, dedicate whatever remains in our lives to that of Christ, amen, and to bring honor and glory to him. And I want him to be in me and work through me, and I want to honor him. So last week's, the title was, "If You've Received Christ, Walk Like It." Walk like it. We got down into what are some areas as far as how we can look at that. When we receive Christ as our Lord in our lives, it's the beginning of our lives with Christ. It's for us to continue to follow his leadership, though we need to be rooted and built up and strengthened in the faith. Amen. Christ wants to guide us and to help us with our daily problems. Could be daily adventures. But I know that we have problems throughout the day and throughout the weeks, you know. And for us to live for Christ, we do this by, let's look at a couple of areas here that'll help us, okay? The first thing is, out of Romans 12, 1, committing our lives and submitting our will to him. In Romans 12, 1, it speaks there of being living sacrifices, isn't it? I'm going to tell you what, I'm glad to be a living sacrifice. Because what's the alternative? Dead sacrifice. Okay? So did I get your attention with that? How many here choose column A or B? I want to be a dead sacrifice or a living sacrifice? Living! There's so much, too much and a lot to do. I need to be living. And it says, I beseech you, or I urge you, Paul, we share this. I beseech you and I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable or your rational service. And then it goes on in verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what we've got to get across in our lives so others around us see that. We got to renew our mind. We got to be transformed. We got to be out of this world. I don't know about you, but I've been conformed to this world long enough, and I want to see what it's like to be in his kingdom, and I want to conform to his ways, and I want to do that by renewing that of my mind. And it's to do that so that we can prove what that is good and acceptable and that perfect will of God. We look at this where God has good, pleasing, and perfect plans for us. Do you believe that? I know when you're in the midst of the storm, and I know when you're going through a terrible time, it's hard to pull yourself up by your bootstraps to say, God's got a wonderful plan for my life, and he knows what he's doing, and I can't wait, you know. Yeah, a lot of us for sure can't wait to get out of where we're going through a particular problem, a particular valley of where we feel like death, you know, throughout this valley. It just doesn't seem to get much better. But we know that God has a good and pleasing and a perfect plan for us, and us as being that of what? His children. God wants us to renew our minds, to become transformed people that he can work through and that he can use us to further his plans here on earth. We sometimes think that it's all about us, right? It's all about me. It's all about this church, and that's what it's about. But it's not. It's God using me. It's God using you. It's God using his corporate bodies of the churches to fulfill his plan, his purposes upon this land. Doesn't need to be a large church. It just needs to be a church that's hungry. Hungry and running for and after God and wanting nothing more in their lives than to be obedient and to be, you know, obedience, like we have said many times, is better than sacrifice. Sometimes it's too easy to sacrifice. Oh, I'll lay this down and we can do that, or I'll sacrifice this. That seems sometimes fairly simple, unless you're sacrificing your first child born or your first son, you know, like back in the Old Testament. But sacrifice is pretty easy. But to be obedient, it takes a little bit more. It takes something within us. And it's going to be something that we don't have within ourselves, but it's something that we have to recognize. For me to have that obedience is I need to ask God to help me, Lord. Strengthen me in my area of obedience because I know it pleases you. And out of all this day and whatever is accomplished this week, it just matters, Lord, that I please you. And that's through obedience. But he wants to further his plans on this earth through us and his church. We find Paul, he's warning the Christians to not copy the behavior and the customs of this world. It's so easy to copy, isn't it? It's so easy to fall prey to the things that are going on around us on a day-by-day basis. We were sharing a little bit in Sunday school about, you know, the things in society and how things are very fragile, and we always thought that we'd always have enough of everything, but the last few years we have seen the fragile of supply lines. We've seen the fragile of not having enough transportation. We've seen the fragility of not have enough workers, you know, whatever the case is. You can put all kinds of things out there, and any one or two of those things together, they will create you a problem. And we have seen that and come through some of these. But we don't want to copy what the world is doing in these times. We want to stay, and we need to, and we really must focus more on the kingdomship of that of God and how he's going to continue to work through these situations upon this earth. And he is going to be our provider, amen. You cannot say that enough. You've got to get that down here, somewhere in the gut, that you know that he is your provider over all things that are going on out there. And so he does have a plan. He does not want us to copy the things and the customs of this world. We've got to stand strong. We've got to turn or change from them and focus on that of the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. We find Paul, again, warning not to copy customs of this world. Our refusal to conform, though, goes deeper than just behavior and customs. It's also talking about let God do the transforming and renewing in you. Sometimes we want to do that ourselves. And I tell you what, when I've tried to do that, I've made a mess of things. Anybody try to figure it out yourself and say, here, God, take the day off. I'll figure out myself and I'll change myself. It doesn't work, you know. A lot of times we come becoming more frustrated within ourselves because it's like, I see it, but why am I not getting there? What's the difficulty of trying to get to that? And I'm not able to. It's because of so many things, and it's because I want to try to take care of that. But we've got to allow that God, and it goes deeper than our customs and our behaviors. Let God do the transforming and the renewing in you. Renew my heart, Lord. Renew my mind, Lord. Help me, Father. Because I want to walk with you because I have received you. So let God do the transforming and the renewing. He will change our thinking. Has your thinking changed coming to Christ? Do you find that you're not as concerned with other things that used to overtake you? It used to just drive you crazy. It used to just everything, your waking hours, even your sleeping hours, it was always being controlled by something that was going on around you, in your job, in your home, in your finance, in your health, in your whatever. And it began to consume you. And we've got to learn to take these things and turn them over to God, to cast those things over to him. He tells us to cast your cares to me. And why can I do that? Because he also says that he cares for me. He cares for you. And in this day and age, when you look around in the world out there, there's not a whole lot of people out there that care for you in the world. You know, they care for you until they get what they want, and then they say, okay, you can go on or kick you off to the side. But in God, when he says these things, he loves us. He cares for us. He will help us. So let God do this transforming, the renewing in you. He will change your thinking. Sometimes you got to get, what do they call that? Get rid of that stinking thinking. Many of us have stinking thinking. It's that world's ways of thinking. You've got to get rid of the stinking thinking. He will do this through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, will renew us. The Holy Spirit will re-educate us. That's the purpose, because in God's Word, Jesus says he will teach you and show you and lead you into truth, and all these things that we could go back through as Jesus is talking of the Holy Spirit. And we all know those, what Jesus was saying. But we have to be reminded that through the Holy Spirit, he's going to renew us. He's going to re-educate us. We have got to be re-educated from the ways of this world into the heavenly kingdom's ways, into the things that God speaks about, and redirect our minds. We have got to change our thinking. You got to change your thinking. If you don't, you will not get past what you think. As a person thinks, what? So is he. These are things that God speaks of. It's all very simplistic. But when you go through life and you're going through things, and pretty soon you're feeling like overwhelmed and things are just bombarding you, and your mind is thinking, all of a sudden, my thinking has gotten stinking, you know, and I'm allowing these thoughts and these things of this problem overtake me to where I know that my answer is that of God, but I have got to take an effort, and I've got to stop that thinking of the things around me, and I've got to focus on the things of his and what he tells me. And so a man thinketh, so is he, you know. Cast those cares upon me, all these things that he tells us. God wants to help us so much, but we want to hold on to the stuff. We want to hold on to some of our thinking of this age. Because in some respects we think, well, look where it's got me. It's helped me through my life. I've attained 40 years of age, 50 years, 60, 70, whatever the case is. You know, I got a job, I got a home, I got transfer. My thinking's done pretty good. Well, in reality, because I switched where I was thinking years back, it's my God has been blessing me because of my job or because of my home or because of my transportation. Although the prices are high, I'm blessed that I can go to a store and I can load up a basket in no time and walk out with $260 worth of food. I'm excited. Yeah. Maybe it used to cost $160, you know. But if you can get your mind off of this and the cost and this and that, and just say, God, I'm your child. You know, I'm your child. I bring my first fruits to the storehouse. Like your word says, I give, Father God. I offer finance. I do, you know, what your word tells me to do. And I've not lacked in the 30-some-odd years, I guess, at this, well, 25 years, 28 years. Whatever, of serving God. There's more things attained when I surrender to God than I had with my secular job. It's hard to understand that. Hard to understand that. But God moves. God has got some mojo. The world calls it mojo. Hey, got some mojo. But God has that same mojo in his kingdom. But what I've got to do is I've got to step out of my world conforming and my conformance to the world's ways. And I got to say, although all this stuff is going on around me, praise God, he's taking care of me. He will provide. But it's not easy, but he will provide. Some of these things that we go through, the Lord wants you to know where you're at with him. And I'm going to tell you, when you're going through a struggle, and I've done those at times, and when I look at myself when I'm going through it or I'm in it, and I begin to check my attitude, and I begin to check where my thoughts are and what I'm thinking of, if they stray way away from that of God, I say, well, thank you, Lord, you just showed me that I'm not as close to you as I should be. Or my faith is not where I thought it was going to be. And the Lord does these things to say, Tim, you need to fine-tune yourself. Tim, you have conformed a little too far over into the world. Tim, you've allowed the news, you've allowed the prices, you've allowed the gas price, you've allowed the food price to begin to control your thoughts and to control your worries. I'm going to tell you, as children of God, we have no worries, or we shouldn't. Jesus didn't say, here, receive me now and go out and worry. You got everything you need, but go worry. Sow seeds of worry, sow seeds of doubt, sow seeds of whatever, but no. He's there to provide and to say, I will take care of you. And I am And most of us can stand before people and say these things, and it's not cavalier, and it's not to say, well, yeah, but look, you say you got this and this and this, and oh, you can say you're trusting God. I trusted God 20 years ago, 25 years ago, 30 years ago. That's why when you get someone that has walked in the life of faith and service to that of the King, you are fulfilled. You are fulfilled. There's a blessing just out there within your grasp. God is trying to get it to you. But you've got to do some things on your part. It's not by works that we do these things, but it's things on our part of being faithful, praising Him even in the storm. At times, I used to turn my back on God when things got rough, because that was the easiest thing to do, because that's what the world would do. You know, I was a Sunday morning, once-a-day Christian. It's easy to turn your back on God when you allow the other 6 days to influence where you're at. We're trying to, as a church, taking 1 day, 3 hours, two hours at the tops, to try to get some of your stinking thinking out of the world's ways. And I did this one time where, as far as the numbers of minutes, and I think I did it like a countdown for a new year. I took a chart and I said, well, we only have Sunday morning service for 2 hours. You've got X number of hours for the year. This is what you're going to say, hey, this is what I'm, at least for God, as a corporate time. And then I added up all the hours that you're outside the church, Sunday afternoon, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And you know what? It's an amazing. Guess where most of the time is spent? Outside the church. If you take the number of days or hours in a week, and what do you dedicate to God? That'll tell you pretty well where you're at within the world, conforming to the world or conforming to God. And I'm not perfect, but I'm just saying this for your benefit, for my benefit, that I need to pay a focus and pay attention that this world does not draw more out of me than what God can give me. Plus, I want to stay in tuned to God. Still got to go to work, still got to do this, still got to do that, still got to do this. But my mind is still upon that of God. And so as a church, and not as a church, I think as God's up there keeping score, He's going, my goodness, I've only got, you know, in a month's time, if a person comes to church four times that month, and they're at church for 2 hours, two times four is eight, I've got 8 hours to work in their hearts and their spirit and change their mind, and they got how many hundreds and hundreds of hours out there to conform to the world. That's why it's a continuing battle. It's a continued struggle. And until you, as a follower of Christ, realize that, and you plant your flag or you plant your foot and say, enough is enough, I'm going to start changing, you know, even though we don't have service on Monday or Friday or whatever, but you can be in the presence of God, amen, through prayer, meditation, read the word yourself. That's time with God. I'm not just saying you got to be at church. I'm just saying taking time with God to transform your mind, to take your energies that you would afford to the world and take those energies and apply it to God in His kingdom. And then watch the things happen. There's times that you go, wow, we got so much accomplished in such a short time. Amen. It's been a blessing on Thursdays. Thursday Bible study. I was telling Dawn this morning when she came in, you know, and she attends on Thursdays. And I said, you know, Sundays used to be, I really tricked my trigger for this. You know, Sundays, I couldn't wait, you know, praise and worship, the message, seeing everybody. But Thursdays have started to kind of put a tug on for Sundays. I know, Sundays, Thursdays, you know, used to be Sunday, Thursday, then all of a sudden, Thursday. Why is that? Because start out with maybe two people, three people. Last week we had eight, you know. The table's full. If it gets any more than that, we'll have to go to the fellowship hall. But it's been awesome to see the hunger of people, and some coming from either other churches or, you know, their church to go to is out of a distance and they're part of, you know, they just come. But we begin to see that hunger of people when we can get together on an off Sunday time and say, let's find some time during the week and let's just get together and talk about God. Let's open up the scriptures and let's share. Let's grow and develop and hear from the things of God. Amen? So Sunday mornings is the only time you can come. Well, praise God. Just make sure you're faithful. Amen. And come every time you can. That's the most important thing. But we've got to look at these things, how the Lord will change us through that of the Holy Spirit. He will re-educate us. And that's what it's about, that Bible study. That's what Sunday morning, re-educate. We just need to hear God's word to move out the things of this world that we have been so taught and so consumed with how the world works, that we've got to take out the old and bring in the new. Amen? So, when we look at this, being re-educated and redirecting our minds, when this happens, we are truly that of being transformed. In Romans 8:5, if you want to write it down, you can go there, but I'm just going to read it here. For those who live according to the flesh do what? Set their minds on the things of the flesh. But it's those who live according to the Spirit, set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Pretty simple. Whatever you're thinking of, whatever you're consumed by, that's what it's going to be. If we live to the flesh, you know, we're going to sow to the flesh. Secondly, to learn about Christ, learn about his life and his teachings. In Colossians 3:16, it says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Amplify would say, let the spoken word of Christ have its home within you, dwelling in your heart and mind, permeating every aspect of your being, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Oh, learn about Christ. Let the word of Christ dwell in your heart and in your mind. I like this in the Amplified where it says, permeating every aspect of your being. What is that when something permeates? Just soaks in. You know, the smell is there. And, you know, you want to go outside into a campfire and just stand around it and be where the wind blows. And about 2 seconds, go back in your house and you start smell your clothes. You permeate that campfire. Although you're, you know, inside 300 feet from it or wherever the case is, you permeate of where you were just at. If you are just with that of Christ. It talks in his word also about being a sweet aroma of him in his nostrils. I want to smell like, I want God, I want to be the sweet aroma of God. But where I spend my time is where I'm going to permeate from. If I spend my time with a lot of the world stuff and the things that are going on, I am permeated with that of what? The world. And what goes in comes out. Amen? What's the old thing we used to tell our kids and whatever? Garbage in, garbage out. As a follower of Christ, wherever I'm at, I'm going to permeate that. So if I can stay closer to God, if I can stay closer to him in my times with him through worship, through just reading his scripture, maybe one verse. It doesn't have to be a chapter, guys. I'm not saying you got to do all of those things. But just time with him, that pretty soon you will begin to, wherever you're at, instead of smelling like the world, you're going to smell like that of the kingdom of God. You're going to be that sweet aroma in his nostrils. I want to be an aroma, a sweet aroma to my God. So we permeate whatever we're around. But that's what I liked when it says, ooh, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, permeating every aspect of your being. We find this to be diligent in Bible study, memorize scriptures, meditate on scriptures. We do all those things. We try to do those things, and there's times some of us have a better memory than others. There are some in this room that can memorize a scripture like that, and there's some in the room, probably like me, that it doesn't work very well at times. And I get the bits and pieces, and I understand it, and it's like I've got it, and then all of a sudden it'll be like, well, this is Tim's paraphrase. But it is taken from the scriptures. I'm not adding or deleting from it. I don't want to change it, but I am focused on what it was telling me. Be diligent in your memorization and meditating. Allow the word to produce praise to God as well as edifying. Here it is, edifying others. We spoke of that on Thursday morning about, you know, the purpose of the church, the purpose of the congregation. It's not to tear people down. The world will tear people down. The church people, we need to edify and encourage one another. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you're having a hard time. We need to encourage them and edify them and let them know we're praying for them and trying to take whatever they're going through and lifting that up to that of God. True discipleship is accompanied by a life of what? Devotion. To be devoted is to concentrate on a particular pursuit or purpose. So a life of devotion to Christ will be us pursuing his purpose. Being what? He himself is going to be reproduced in us. Do you want to reproduce something? Reproduce him, amen, in your life, so that you can be an example of those around you. Not to be haughty, not to be prideful, not to look at me, I'm a Christian, but it's to say, I want to show you something. There's two aspects in this world. One of being conformed to this, of the garbage of the world, or one being conformed to that of the King of heaven, to God. And it's a work for all of us. We've got to stay that way. We've got to stay close to him so that we can be that example. It's not easy even for us, but it gets easier as the days go by. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love for my Lord and I. Between my Lord and I. But it does. The more you're with him, there's a love and it develops. He wants to reproduce himself in us. And thirdly, it's this, to recognize the Holy Spirit's power in us. We look at Acts 1:8. It says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be what? My witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Remember, we're looking at this, if you have received Christ, walk like it. If you have received Christ, let him be found in your daily walk, in your examples of how you live, how you talk, how you walk, how you do things, what you're presenting to those outside. Jesus here promises the disciples that they would receive power to witness after they have received the Holy Spirit. So what is this power? The power of the Holy Spirit. The power. We cannot, and we've spoke on it a lot, and we keep kind of going back around the mountain on these things, I'm sure. Of what the Holy Spirit is about. Amen. It involves courage. It gives us boldness and confidence. How about insight? Insight. How to maybe talk to that person. What to share. They might be having a question in our conversation with God, even though they're not saved per se. And then happily you're there, and by insight of the Holy Spirit, you share something with them. That they've been in kind of like, okay, God, if this is really you, then this will, and all of a sudden you're the one there. And they go, oh my goodness, God is hearing me. Insight, Holy Spirit will give you the ability, and you'll actually have the authority by that of the Holy Spirit to go out there and to do these things as God wants to be using you as that mouthpiece to go out and to share what it's about, what he's about, what the kingdom is about. We had a great thing on today in Sunday school about the keys, the kingdom, and the keys. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom and things of that nature. There's keys out there. We've got to know how to operate them. And some of us have these keys, but we don't know where they're at. We've lost them. We got these keys, but we don't know which lock they go in or whatever the case might be. But I liked how he had said in there, you know, keys give you like, what is it, 6 or 7 things. And I can't remember them all. I think I took my note out and left it in the office. But it gives you, you know, authority. It gives you access. It gives you, you know, the power. It gives you all these things that as we have these keys that God truly wants to give us, but we've got to be close to him to be able to get these keys. I think all of our kids, they all have keys to our house. They can go in anytime if we're there or we're not there. They can come into our house. The keys, you know, mom and dad, we have authorized you. I mean, hey, if you get in there and you feel like it, hey, vacuum. Do a little dusting while you're there, would you please? But it's just a very simplified thought, but it's like, even by doing that, that's a key to get into that door to unlock. God has given us these keys. And he truly wants us to use them. But we've got to get close. We've got to be powered by the Holy Spirit. We have that authority. And just as the disciples needed these abilities to fulfill their mission as they were on, don't you think we need these same abilities today? Certainly. So one thing again, it's like this. They would receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus is talking about this. The Holy Spirit gives them the power. They would witness with extraordinary results. We may at times get the order backwards. We sometimes want to witness on our own power rather than on the Holy Spirit's power. And boy, what happens then? We usually make a mess of it, you know. We try to go in there without that of the power of the Holy Spirit, without the leading of the Holy Spirit, without the words of the Holy Spirit, and we may make a mess. So we go in, we witness on our own power rather than the Holy Spirit's power, and it boils down to telling what God has done for us. It's a personal testimony. We just want to go in and begin to witness and to share these things. Talked about remembering, recognizing of the Holy Spirit's power in us, Acts 1:8, also Galatians, and I think we were there already, 5:22 at the beginning of this time. And it talks about the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, our meekness, self-control. Again, such there is no law. And so these are things. Again, what was the title of this? If you've received Christ, walk like it. If you've received Christ, generally we should be walking with love. We should be walking with joy, peace, long-suffering, all these things that I've just mentioned. The fruit of the Spirit is the spontaneous work of the Holy Spirit that is working within us. These same traits are found also in Christ. When they were working in us, they are the byproduct of Christ's control. So don't try to get them on your own, for it only comes through Christ. To have the Spirit growing in us, we must join our lives to that of Jesus. And that's where it comes down to. We have got to what? Grow our lives closer to Him. It speaks of that in John 15. Abide in me. John 15:4-5. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. We need to stick with who? Jesus. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Read scriptures. Jesus is already telling you. You go out there and hit your head against the wall trying to do these things and do whatever, draw people to the kingdom, bring people to the church. I'm going to hit you over the head and drag you there. We're going to prop you up in the seat so we got people here. Don't do that. Allow Jesus to work through you. And then follow the leading of what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life and how you speak and how you draw people to that of the Lord. We had a great teaching sometime back. Remember that? That was awesome on the vine dresser. And the thing is, it's like if you're not producing anything, he'll cut you off and throw you into the fire. But even if you're producing something, he'll trim it back so you can do what? Produce more. So sometimes when we get pruned by God, when we're doing good things, we kind of take that as like an insult personally. Like, well, what? I was doing this. I thought it was good. What's going on? It was doing good. But now he's pruned you back a little bit more so you can have even more fruit and do even more things for that of him. Amen? It's okay to be pruned, right? Thank you, Lord. Trim us up, Lord. It's almost like, Lord, whatever is dead on me, is a whatever, just take it off, Lord. Just clomp it off. And generally, if it's dead, you're probably not going to feel it too much. I mean, it's just wasted stuff, you know? But then when he does trim us in the areas that we are producing, and we might take offense to it at first, like, well, what? What's going on? It's just saying, I want you to produce even more now. And growth will come back. The fruit of the Spirit is the spontaneous work of the Holy Spirit working in us. These same traits are found in Christ. When they are working in us, they are the byproduct of Christ's control. Have control over me, Lord. Remember now we've got into John 15, John 15, verses 4 through 5. Speaking of the vine and the vine dressers. So we need to know him, Jesus. Love him, remember him, imitate him. A person that exhibits the fruit of the Spirit fulfills the law better than one who observes the rituals of the law. Remember, sacrifice, obedience. Sacrifice, obedience. It's better to be obedient than the sacrifice to that point, because as we look at here, that the person that exhibits the fruit of the Spirit fulfills the law better than one who observes the rituals of that law. Fruit is not just identified with soul winning. Okay, sometimes we think of that, like, oh, how many souls have we won? That's my fruit. In 2 Peter, as we wrap it up here, we find additional fruit as well. In 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 8, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, or patience, to perseverance, add godliness, now to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound in you, you will be neither barren or useless nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we look at this, and we can go through it again if you, but look in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8. You've got all these descriptions in there yourself. And verse 8 says it all. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That barren is talking about being useless. If we don't have these traits operating in our life on an ongoing daily basis, we're useless to the things of what the kingdom of God is about. Because if we are not walking and showing these things, guess what generally happens? You look no different than the world. And the world has got enough of itself. There's enough in the world going on and people in that whole thing, because there's a lot of people out there that don't have self-control. There's a lot of people out there that don't have patience. I mean, even in our churches, we got to have patience. I've got to work on that myself, you know? To godliness, that brotherly kindness to one another, kindness to love, all of these things. If we cannot function in these fruits and in these identifying marks, you know, it would be like if you're looking at like a throughout, thinking of like a blood test, okay, markers and things that they look at in blood tests and testings and all. They have these markers out there that they look as a standard or whatever, okay, the marker for this and this and this is all right here. They take your blood and they look at where is your area of blood produced within that area of whatever they're looking at, proteins or salts or potassiums or all the stuff that's out there in your body. And they begin to look and see where you're at that. The world has all kinds of markers out there that shows when you're in the world, you're in the world. But when you're in the kingdom of God, there's a difference. And it's not my difference. It's not what I worked on. It's not what I fabricated. It's not what I kind of mumbo-jumboed and made up myself. It's looking at God's word, reading it, reading what Jesus says, allowing the Holy Spirit to move within me, to teach me, to guide me, to show me. And then it's begin to see these things begin to flow out of me. And then when that happens, that's when you begin to look at, if you receive Christ, you walk like it. It's so important to walk like him. Not that you're going to be him. Not that you're not going to have a hiccup now a day here, a day there. It's not that you're going to be perfect and you're not going to blow it. Chances are, you know, any one of us could blow it sometime today. Or Monday. But it's to get back into that grace. It's to get back into where he's at through that of asking for forgiveness and repentance. And to quickly repent and get back to where he has you and then proceed from there. And don't foster or think on or threat or fret over whatever you just had to ask for forgiveness over, because it'll continue to bog you down. But when we make a misstep, the Spirit will let you know, oh, Father, I blew it. Forgive me. I'm sorry. I repent. I want to be close to you, Lord. Help me. And he will, as a loving Father, pick you up, dust you off, set you back out there and say, okay, let's keep going. Lesson learned? Yes. Don't make that same mistake. But God is a loving and caring God. And we need to honor him. We need to provide all we can to bring honor and glory to him like our Lord did, you know, saying and doing and following. And wouldn't it be great when he said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. You know, not that that would be truly as far as the likeness and all, but truly when I look at you guys, do I see the Father? It's what it needs to get down to. Remember, we sometime back talk about reflections. What are we reflecting of him? The image of, the reflection of God. And people are hurting, people are out there, and they need some help. And we're going to have that as we exemplify that of Christ. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for this time, and I thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, I do find encouragement in your word. Sometimes it hits close to home. Sometimes, Lord, it kind of shows me personally, Lord, some areas that I still am needing to work on. And that's okay, Lord, because you're just continuing trying to help us and clean us, Lord, from the inside out. And it's not to boast about ourselves, Lord. It's you need us, Lord, to be as close to you so that we can be an example of those that we come into contact with out in the world. They need such help. They need an answer. And we have found the answer already, and that is in you. But Lord, let us be close to you to be able to share that with those out there. Work through us. Permeate through us, Lord God. Let people know that we have been in your presence. I pray it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.